Hello and welcome to another edition of the Duct Tape Marketing Podcast. This is your host, John Jantz, and my guest today is Chris Guillebeau. He is most recently the author of The Art of Non-Conformity, Set Your Own Rules, Live Your Life You Want, and Change the World. So we have got some big, meaty topics today to talk about. Chris, thanks for joining me.
Hey, John. Thanks for having me, man.
So before we get into the topic of nonconformity, you are in the middle of, I think, still at this recording anyway, a fairly unconventional, or should I say nonconformist, book tour. You want to talk about kind of what your ginormous goal is there?
Yes, sure. You know, this is my first book, and I was really excited about it. And so maybe 90 days before the book came out, I talked to the publisher and said, you know, hey, guys, what's the plan for the book tour? You know, where are you sending me? And they said, oh, we don't really do book tours anymore. You know, we don't have money for that. We don't think it's a good use of resources. And that was a little bit discouraging. But then I thought, well, I'll just do it myself. And I'll, you know, if I have to, I'll put together the tour myself. And I've got great readers, you know, all across the country and really all across the world. So I'll just work with them and we'll figure out how to do it. And then I don't like to do anything small. So the idea of just going to major markets didn't really sound that interesting to me. So I decided, well, I'll visit all 50 states. So we got all 50 states in, and I didn't want to leave Canada out, so I threw in all 10 provinces and added a couple other places, and I came up with 63 cities in total. And so I just put this book tour together, and I went out to my readers and said, hey, guys, I need some help. You know, how can we make this work? And so people started volunteering to be co-hosts. People started volunteering to do photos and contact the local media, to bring cupcakes, to bake other things, you know, to bring stuff. And it's just been a fun experience so far. So I just finished up stop number 33 in Atlanta, and I'm home in Portland, Oregon for a few days, took a few days off, and then next week I'll be going back out to Boise, Idaho, and beyond. So it's just been so much fun. I'm so glad I did it.
Yeah, I think you buzzed by me. We were going to chat, but I don't think you actually stopped in Kansas City. You were down the road away somewhere, but I know you came through here a few weeks back.
That's right. Yeah, I was in Lawrence. Actually, it was really nice stuff. Actually, we had a bunch of books came out.
That's a great town. I'll get right into the book. One of the lines that I keep, I know that it's something that I, or at least I believe, is central to your work. That I want to kind of put out there and have you just take it whatever direction you want, and that is that you don't have to live the life the way other people expect you to. How does that sort of manifest itself in your thinking?
Yeah, I would say that's probably the central message of the book, and I would just add to it to say also you can do good things for yourself and for others at the same time. It's not a false choice. It's not a dichotomy. So, you know, one of the things I like to write about is pursuing a big dream or pursuing a quest or a journey. So, you know, when I'm not traveling in the States, I'm trying to visit every country in the world. That's something I've been working on for a few years. It's just a personal quest. It's something I derive a lot of, you know, personal meaning or validation from. And so I do that, but then, you know, I'm also trying to focus my work on helping others and helping others kind of do the same thing. So you don't have to live your life the way other people expect you to. I guess, you know, over time it's become kind of a rallying point for nonconformity, for unconventional people, not just people connecting with my work, but, you know, in general. I think a lot of people do things because, you know, either because they're expected to, or because they think there's these assumptions, or because it's the way their parents did things or their peers. And so, you know, a lot of what I'm trying to do is not necessarily change people's thinking. It's more of a self-selecting message, you know, for people who are already interested in kind of doing something different.
It's almost like giving them permission, right?
Exactly. I would say even helping people, you know, give themselves permission.
Yeah, right. Well, so how do you make that real so that it's not, I mean, it's a pretty easy thing to say, just like a Nike slogan might be. I mean, how do you make that real for somebody or, you know, bring it down to the tangible level? I know that you have kind of this day by day path, but, you know, if somebody's out there listening to this and they hear that message, okay, I don't have to live how others expect me to, but how do I not?
Right. Okay. So I would say the first thing is to figure out what they want. And I would say the first thing is like, okay, you know, what is it you would really like to do? And for some people that's kind of new thinking, you know? So then the next question is, okay, what excites you? Mm-hmm. What are you really interested in? Is there something you wanted to do when you were a kid, but you started doing something else because you were told that wasn't realistic or wasn't practical? You know, another thing to think about is what bothers you. What bothers you about the world, and you know, what problem would you like to, you know, to create change in or whatever. And then kind of start, you know, looking at how to do that, whether that's in business, like, you know, we're talking about here, or in travel, or in something, you know, completely different. I think, you know, one thing that's helpful is to think about obstacles and to figure out, like, what are the obstacles in my way? If you want to start a small business, you know, you want to be an entrepreneur, what's holding you back from that? Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot of misconceptions about, you know, what it takes to be an entrepreneur, what it takes to start a small business. You know, the misconception that you need a lot of money, the misconception that you need a certain kind of education, you know, and if you can kind of remove those obstacles, then I think that's a great start.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, you know, people have spent a lot of years having that whacked out of them. And so just even getting to think, I mean, how do you get back far enough from the hole a lot of people are in to even start thinking that way?
Well, I mean, again, I think it starts with motivations and starts with a dream that hopefully turns into a goal, and figuring out, you know, what it is you want to do and what your message is and how you can communicate that message and how it, you know, turns into a business if that's your goal, how you monetize it if that's your goal, you know, and so on.
So how does the person that, and again, I'm going to let up a little bit here. I'm just trying to push, because I think there are a lot of...
No, this is good.
I think a lot of people, you know, I'm going to, you know, we might as well let the 4-hour work week out of the, you know, out of the bag here.
Sure. Sure.
You know, a lot of people read that book, and of course, particularly because Tim, you know, was a little more in their face than maybe you are. A lot of people read that and said, okay, yeah, that's great, but I've got, you know, 2 kids in college and a mortgage and, you know, not really sure. In fact, I wrote a post giving him trouble one time. I called the 4-daughter work week, which is happens to be my particular situation. And I think that for a lot of people, you know, they say, well, look, I'm stuck. I mean, how do I get out of my stuck?
This halftime break is brought to you by Constant Contact. Constant Contact helps small businesses and nonprofits build great customer relationships with email marketing, event marketing, and online surveys. Visit them today at constantcontact.com and sign up for your free 60-day trial.
Right. So I guess my next question would be, what kind of stuck are you trying to get out of, and what are you trying to get to? And, you know, if you feel like it's a financial stuck, if you feel like it's the mortgage and the security of the job, then I would say don't quit the job.
Yeah.
I would say find a way to start something on the side. If you can find a way, you know, assuming the goal is some kind of financial empowerment, whatever that is. If you've never made any money for yourself before, making $100 or even $15 or whatever is very empowering.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would always start with that. Let's see what we can do to kind of get you on a new track without investing a lot of money. And without quitting your job. And then in the long term, it is kind of about questioning where that security comes from. And I think one of the things that's been good about the recession and the whole, like, you know, redefining, you know, financial stuff and career stuff over the past few years, one of the things that's good is that, you know, it forces us to kind of look at what really is risky. So entrepreneurship has traditionally been viewed as a risk. You know, it's like very risky to go out on your own. And the safe path is to, you know, get a job and work at that same job for 40 years or whatever. But I think a lot of people now realize that maybe it's actually safer to create your own security somehow, right?
Yeah. In fact, I you know, I talk to entrepreneur groups all the time, and that whole idea of risk is a profile that I've actually found not to be true at all. Entrepreneurs aren't risk takers. They've just found something more important to them than security.
Right, exactly. I would say some entrepreneurs can be quite conservative, actually.
Exactly.
And some entrepreneurs actually, you know, are really choosing the safe route by building something for themselves.
Yeah, well, I agree. So let's talk about world dominance, another topic that you spend a fair amount of time talking about. Are we talking Pinky and the Brain here, or?
You know, I wrote a manifesto called A Brief Guide to World Domination when I first started blogging, and that was something that really kind of helped me, you know, kind of get my name out there, build a platform. And I think, you know, in the beginning, it was mostly just, it was an interesting thing that people would hear that, and they're like, oh, what's that about? You know, it's kind of a polarizing thing that it attracts some people and repels other people. But I would say mostly when I talk about world domination, it's kind of that concept of nonconformity that we talked about earlier about, you know, how to do good things for yourself, you know, while also hopefully, you know, making the world a better place for others at the same time, which is what I think, you know, which is what I think entrepreneurs do in general. I think, you know, my motivation for getting started as an entrepreneur like 10 years ago It wasn't the best motivation. I mean, the motivation was just like, I don't want to be an employee.
Yeah.
I don't want to work for someone else. I'm not a good employee. So how can I find any way, you know, legally, morally, to support myself? And I probably shouldn't say it was a bad motivation. It just wasn't really a higher level
right.
motivation. And then, you know, like over time, like I come to see entrepreneurship as an important way to change the world, you know, to create wealth and value where there wasn't there before and all that kind of stuff. But that was a transition, you know. In the beginning, it's mostly like, how can I just, you know, not be an employee or whatever.
But I think that that's a lot of people's motivation. A lot of times it's just because they don't know any better, and you get into, you know, you think, yeah, this is a way I can do something that I know I need to do, you know, put
right.
money on the table. And it's until
right.
you're inside of it that you know, develop sort of this higher purpose, I think. You know,
right.
I tell people all the time, I created my business because I was just too curious for anybody
right.
to employ me. But I now often talk about, you know, finding a higher purpose in that, and it doesn't have to be spiritual or religious. It's something
sure.
that, you know, that I believe is valuable. And I think that that's not something I think that you sit around a table one day in a strategic planning meeting and come up with.
Right.
It's
right.
something
no,
that you
good.
Sort of have to experience, right?
Yeah, it's an evolution.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people really beat themselves up saying, how do I find meaningful work? You know, I mean,
right,
but
right.
I mean, don't you think that some of it, you know, it's not something that you just create one day. It's
sure,
it's
sure,
a lot
no,
of what you're
I agree,
talking
yeah.
about.
Yeah, no, I think there is a desire for meaningful work. I think
right.
it's something that we do want to answer
right.
at some point. But I agree that, you know, we can spend a lot of time and a lot of years even, you know, just being stuck trying to figure something out instead of just going and doing something. And
yeah.
that's how I've always built my business. I never built like a huge business or anything. It's only now, you know, after working for myself for more than 10 years, I mean, I still don't have a huge business, but I'm actually starting to be somewhat strategic about what I'm doing. You know,
right.
for the better part of 10 years, it was mostly like, how can I just make a living? How can I support myself and my wife so we can do what we want? I mean, we went and lived overseas for 4 years and, you know, supported ourselves by doing consulting back at home and, you know, other business stuff. And that was the whole motivation for 10 years. And so now it's finally like, okay, you know, where are we going with this and what's next?
Yeah, I think part of what you're saying is, you know, get in the game.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, get in the game. That's why it's empowering to do something
yeah.
very small in
yeah.
the beginning. It's so empowering. You know, it's just. I met this guy on book tour. I saw him at two different stops. I forget the first stop, and I saw him at West Virginia like a few weeks later. And at the first stop, he was telling me this story about how he had this art print business. Like he was a photographer and he was mm-hmm. was trying to sell prints or something, but he hadn't really got started. We talked about a few things he could do to get that started or whatever. And a few weeks later, I saw him again, and he told the story of selling his first print for $50. And he was so excited. He was like, he's like, I just felt so good when I saw, like, you know, the $50 come in and the email with the order and stuff. And, you know, he was like, it's not just about the $50. It's about the fact that I created
yeah.
something and I
yeah.
put it out there and I sold it. And so I think that's very empowering.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Get in the game. I like that.
Yeah. So you spent, because, and I think this is like a convergence of paths probably for you, right? You spend so much time figuring out how to travel that you've actually made what we call a side business out of teaching people how to travel inexpensively or at least well.
Yeah, and that also came about very organically. Like after I started the blog, I didn't really have a big monetization plan for the blog 2.5 years ago. I just kind of wanted to have a blog and I wanted to write a book at some point. But then I noticed people kept asking me like the same questions over and over, usually pretty technical, logistical questions about, you know, how I booked my round-the-world plane tickets or how I use frequent flyer miles and all that kind of stuff. And so I just decided, like, I'll just create this side business, as you call it, and I'll create some information products and put some resources out there for people who want them and make it clear that the blog is always going to be free. I'm happy to do 80-90% of my work for free. But this is, you know, this other stuff is there for people who want it. And yeah, that's grown quite a bit. And I really love the whole, like, freemium model of, you know, giving away as much as I can, but then, you know, being able to live off of the paid stuff. I mean, it's working out great.
Well, and you are, what have you seen, 90, 70, 80, 90% of the world from a country passport standpoint?
So how many countries have I been to so
far?
Yeah,
yeah.
Percentage-wise, yeah, I'm not sure. I've actually been to about 3/4 so far, so 151 countries
wow.
out of 192.
Wow.
But it's one of those things that gets progressively more difficult.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've got about 2.5 years left on my my goal, and you know, I run out of easy countries.
So, are there there are a few that are not real interested in you visiting? You mean?
There are a few like that, but yeah, that's not necessarily what I mean. I mean more like there's a lot of places that aren't necessarily dangerous or you know, bad countries. They're just hard to get to. I mean, there's a lot of islands in the middle of the South Pacific. There's a lot of countries in Africa. I mean, I lived in Africa for 4 years.
Wow.
I've been to 24 countries in Africa, but still, you know, there's still like there's 52 total. So I still got a lot to do.
Wow. Well, neat. Well, I also noticed that you've had some ways to not just, you know, get around, but even like how do you get frequent flyer miles and best way to rent cars and all that kind of stuff too.
Yeah,
you know, a lot of business folks I think could benefit from that as well. So the last thing I want to finish up with is you are working on something we talked about this initially off the air. You're working on something that you're calling the World Domination Summit. So that's going to be middle of 2011. You want to kind of talk a little bit about what your plans and maybe aspirations for that event are?
Yeah, sure. When I started doing the unconventional book tour, you know, I'm basically doing, you know, it's mostly informal meetups. Like I'm going, I'm giving a short talk, I do question and answer, but then a lot of people just kind of hang out. And I've noticed there's a lot of just opportunity in gathering like-minded people together, which is not to say we would agree on everything, but just, you know, entrepreneurs and travelers and, you know, aid workers and all kinds of people doing fun, unconventional stuff. And so I was thinking, like, how can we scale this? How can we do this not just, you know, whenever I go to Houston or Dallas or wherever, but how can I, like, bring people together from all over the world? So that's when I decided to create the World Domination Summit. And so this is a weekend event here in Portland, Oregon, the first weekend of June next year. So I've rented out the Portland Art Museum, and I'm working with a team. We're going to have speakers. We're going to have a number of workshops. It's going to be very participatory, but there's also going to be a number of community events. And so I'm bringing about 500 people together from all over the world, and I'm really excited about it and also scared because I don't know how to plan an event, but I'm figuring it out pretty quickly, and it's going to be good.
Yeah, well, just embrace chaos. That's what I always say.
Okay, good. We'll make that on your tagline.
Well, Chris, thanks for joining me. I love the Art of Nonconformity, and I know it is sold extremely well because I think there are a lot of people, even not only in jobs, that have struck out on their own, but I think that there may be they haven't quite figured out their rules yet, and so I think your book's helping a lot of folks in that regard, and I sure appreciate you taking the time to visit with us.
Hey, John, thanks so much. It's a big honor.
Take care.